I've been feeling this Pop Till We Drop vibe all week, and you guys, I'm so happy that we can all be here and finally make it happen.
I'm glad too. So, I've heard rumors that Shelby wants to talk about dating.
I do want to talk about dating. It's interesting to me.
All right, that's fine.
Like a specimen.
Okay.
Alex?
You know, I'm feeling so bleh about summer at this point. You know, like, what else is there to even do? So I want some advice on, you know, new stuff I can try.
I think we can help you out with that.
Okay.
And something we were talking about right before the microphones turned on is our mutual love of Lizzo, and I'm excited to talk about that today.
So I'm Shelby Thomason.
I'm Tess Weinberg.
And I'm Alex Goddard, and we're ready to pop till we drop. Well, guys, I feel like we're kind of at that point in the summer where all of the fun things have passed us by. You know, all the most of the summer events that people look forward to are in the rear view at this point. It's like 4th of July, fireworks, done. You know, all the big, like, music festivals are kind of past. And we're now into that part of the summer where it's just like, oh, boy, it's warm, like, gonna sit around on the couch, like, go for another bike ride. What is there to do anymore? And on my calendar, it's just like the state fair at this point, and then that's it for the rest of the summer. So do you guys have any, like, suggestions or favorite things you have done this summer that were maybe new or are good to, like, get out of the house and try something new? Because I really, like, you know, you get to that point in a Minnesota summer where it's like, I've been to the cabin, I've been swimming, I've, you know, ridden my bike all over the place.
You know, something that I would highly suggest in lieu of going to the state fair, mostly because I just don't like it, because it's dusty and it's dirty.
Wow.
I'm a terrible Minnesotan in that respect. And that's okay. People can know that about me. But the Calhoun Sailing Club or Minneapolis Sailing Club.
Okay.
They give free sailboat lessons.
Really?
On Lake Calhoun.
I
yeah,
did not know
every
that.
Day. And some days they're not there. I mean, it's, you know, it's rough to kind of get them when
sure.
they're there, but you know, supposedly they're there every day. And they will give they'll give sailboat lessons to people who want them for free.
Sure.
So that's kind of cool. I think Minneapolis is really great for free things in the summer.
Sure.
I don't know why that is. Maybe every city is like that.
I mean, that's about the budget we aim for in the summer. You know, you don't want to, like,
well, you spend all your money on ice cream.
Sweet, sweet ice cream. That's interesting. I did not know they did free sailing lessons. You can run over some, like, bros on a jet ski in your...
I don't know if they would endorse that, but
you can take Lake Calhoun back from the people who have stolen it.
I really enjoy this part of the summer because I'm not obligated to do anything.
Sure.
And I like that. At the beginning of summer, the first week of June is so stressful to me. There's 35 block parties and
sure.
barbecues and birthdays. All my friends have summer birthdays. I don't know. It's a lot of obligations, and
sure.
I don't like being told what to do. I don't know. I like this part a lot. I don't know, new coffee shops. I like
sure.
to venture into something.
Sure.
Well, maybe that's left over from, or maybe it's like us growing up from like school, because when I was younger, August was,
worst
I have to get ready
month.
For school.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of like that Sunday afternoon feeling
yeah.
but for like a whole month.
Yeah.
You're just like, no.
Yeah. Yeah. But
don't
now
make
it's,
me go back.
Now it's a situation where, like you said, there's nothing to do and it's nice.
Yeah.
And you don't have to prep for anything because you're not in school anymore. I wonder if that will continue for the rest of our lives or like if that goes away.
I don't know.
I don't know. Every time I see those big pencil cardboard cutouts hanging over at Target, I get this
sure.
feeling of anxiety.
They're already there now.
Oh my gosh, really?
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, they were there on Sunday, yeah.
Oh, but, my heart just fluttered.
Yeah, yeah.
Just never go to school. Never go back to school. That's our advice.
Yep.
No, I mean, like, I'm totally down for not doing anything. It's like a great mode to be in. But I don't know. It's like the further I've gotten, the more summers I've put between me and college, it's like the number of, I mean, not that anybody I really knew had like college grad parties, but there were definitely a lot of like, oh, we're done with school, like, let's all have a big bonfire, blah, blah, blah. Huge crowds of people. And now it's like, oh, so and so moved to New York, so and so moved to LA, like, blah, 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 got married. It's like the amount of like stuff going on in summer in general has, it seems like it gets smaller as you get older. So you have to fill it with like activities, you know? Which
hobbies.
Is why I'm at a, yeah, which is why I'm at a loss this summer. I just have like
oh, as you get older, summer becomes less important.
Yeah,
because just, it's not like, oh, this is the only time we don't have school. Yeah. It's just like, oh, it's hot.
Yeah.
And you have I noticed that the further away I get from college, I have less and less friends, but I also welcome this new trait because well, then you know, you keep the good
ones. Anti-social.
No, I mean, you get to, you actually get to choose your friends when you're an adult, and I think that's a wonderful thing, and you actually see the people who you want to see. You make an effort. And then besides that, it's like, you know, our own heads are pretty entertaining and that's cool.
Yeah.
People tell me all the time that when I'm 30, I'm going to have like the best friends I've ever had in my entire life. Like, it's going to be unreal. I'm
just
going to be
stunned. Because you'll have two, like, really good
ones.
Right.
Yeah. I'm going to be stunned at how great they are. And it'll be like, well, you know, it's not just these people. It's everyone now is great when they're in their 30s. It's because, you know, you have two friends. You don't have 17.
Yeah. Do you guys feel like recently, maybe, and I mean, maybe within like the last year or so, do you get like anxiety about all the people you used to hang out with that you don't hang out with anymore? Any of that going on?
I went to a birthday party this past weekend, and I hadn't thought about a lot of those people that I saw in a really long time, and I saw all of them, and it was maybe 30 people. It was a group of friends that I no longer see very often, and I was very socially overstimulated for the next few days.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I get anxious about it. I get anxious about the possibility of seeing them. So, like, a party like that, like, I'd be anxious to go. Like, I'm never anxious about, you know, the people I used to see or anything like that, because I had that post-grad, like, well, now I have no friends sadness. And then I got over that. And then I was like, oh, but I do have good friends, just fewer of them.
Mm-hmm.
But now there's, when you go to, like, big parties, or, like, if you go to a gathering and you know you're going to see people that you used to hang out with that you don't anymore, I always get that, like, anxiety of, I don't really want to talk to these people, and I don't know if they want to talk to me.
Mm.
Maybe we mutually don't want to talk to each other, and that would be really nice, unless we both pull out of Minnesota and we're like, hey, how are you?
Sure. How's the weather?
Don't care.
Yeah. That's all fair. I feel like lately I've gotten, lately I've just been noticing, like, you know, I'll be going through like my Facebook feed or like my contacts list on my phone. I'll be like, aw. And I mean, admittedly, it all starts with me, right? You know, like, if you have that feeling, it's up to you to like, blah, blah, blah. But then
I'll
reach
out.
You know what? The like 9 or 10, like, super solid friends, you know, totally happy with that. Sorry, all other acquaintances.
Yeah.
But like, you know, maybe that'll be my like midsummer / winter project, is like, you know, reconnecting with old friends or something like that.
Well, I think winter is a much better time to do that than summer, because winter's so dark here that maybe those new friends, like, rekindling those friendships can shine a light. That was a lot of imagery for
one little check that there. Out.
That was a beautiful metaphor. Wow. So poetic.
Thank you.
And I guess that's actually good advice, because for me, like, my preferred, like, low impact social mode is just like at the bar, you know, just at the bar. I didn't really drink that much in college, or like go out to the bar that much in college. So it's like the joys of that are still real for
fresh.
Me, you know? And I feel like I know plenty of people who are like, oh, I went out 5 days a week in college and I don't like bars now, that kind of thing. It's like, I saved it for afterward, and it's just the best. So, you know, you don't have to cook for anyone. You don't have to clean your house. You don't have to like set up a movie time or anything like that. It's just like, go to the bar, hang out.
Nice.
It's wonderful.
I feel like the midsummer woes are a real thing. But I don't know for me if it's because I've run out of things to do, or festivals are over, or holidays are over. It's mostly because I'm dreading the horrible winter that I know is about to come. So I wonder in states where it's warm more of the time if they still feel that way, because in California you can go to the beach all year round, you know.
Sure.
So I mean, I think that they would argue with that, I guess, depending on where you are in California.
But like Coachella's in April, right?
Yeah, mid-April.
So if we had fun things going on in April, I wouldn't dread August.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
I feel like I always get into this weird state of denial around August where I almost always say, like, it's going to be fine this year. Like, winter this year is going to be fine. It's
so
okay.
Sad.
And then you spend two months just like, come on, be fine, winter, and then it snows and you're like, whatever. I don't know. Is there a way that you guys have learned to just like put off the impending, like, going back to school, winter's coming, blah, 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 thought?
It helps that I really like fall fashion. And now that I work for a clothing line, so we're doing a lot of our fall testing and releases for amping up for fall and winter. And that's exciting because I get excited that I can wear this new sweater with my new cute boots. But then it snows and I will no longer wear my nice boots outside. You're covered up by a coat and that all fades very quickly.
I don't know. I really like fall and winter fashions. Like,
Sleeping bag
people
coats?
In
those are your fave shows?
No. No, like hats and like mittens and scarves and like cute coats. Like, I think they're adorable. And also, I don't know if it's because I've resigned myself to the idea that I might live here for the rest of my life. Like, you know, when I was younger, I always thought, like, I'm going to move to California. Like, this is not me. Like, I'm not going to stay in this state for the rest of my life. And now that I'm older, I might do that. And, you know, you never know what's going to happen. But I wouldn't be sad about that. And so now I've kind of come to this point in my life where there really is no use in my being sad about the winter or complaining about the winter, because I might deal with this every year for the rest of my life.
Sure.
And so
okay, that's fair.
I'm accepting the fact that it might be cold and that I don't have to be cold because it's also cold. Like, if you dress the right way, like, you will be okay, which, you know, I'm going to say that and it's 80 degrees out and so I'm fine, you know, and I might say something different when it's 40 below. But I don't have like this, like, dread of winter, because I really like snow. Like, I enjoy winter and the hats that come with it.
Okay.
Although not the sleeping bag coats. I don't own one of those. I never want to own one of those. Except I almost bought one last year. I guess that was a lie. I might want to own one of those.
Mm.
I don't think they're the best piece of clothing in the world, though.
Sure. So you're telling me I just need to ignore my problems.
You need to have a better outlook, Alex.
Okay, that's fair.
And so do you, Tess.
And you're telling me I just need to get into fashion, right?
I think, yeah.
Doable.
Or move.
So I don't know. I'll realign my interests to be more fall-oriented, and then I won't have a problem with midsummer. Or I'll just continue to sit on my couch and watch Pretty Little Liars with the window open, and, like, you know.
Well, this has been a Midsummer Night's Dream.
So poetic.
This summer has been the summer that it has truly occurred to me that this is the season of breakups. And I've kind of heard about this before, where, you know, about May, June, July, sometimes even into August, but usually like that beginning part of the summer is like breakup season, and everybody breaks up with their significant other. And that just happens. And I've never really seen it firsthand, except for this year when I've seen it 7 times within my group of close friends, which is saying something because I have 8 friends. So,
hey-o.
No, just kidding. Zing. Kind of, just kidding. But whatever. So, that kind of made me think about, because I am in a relationship, so I don't really deal with dating culture.
Brag about it, Shelby.
Humble brag going on over here.
No, that's, I'm not, that's
not
what I'm
saying. I don't have to deal with that.
It's not a humble brag. It's not a humble brag.
I have someone
really
who loves me, and it's fine.
Okay, you know what? Anyway, but
you're
it made
so
me,
red right now.
It made me think about it, because all of my friends are going out and like trying to date, and I honestly like never really did that. You know, I didn't start, I guess, dating, or I wasn't in a relationship until I was 20, and I never looked for it prior to that. Like, I was never, I don't know, I was just more concerned with like my job and my schooling, and sure. I don't know, I just didn't do that. And like, I was in a group of friends that were social enough. But now that, you know, all my friends are like trying to date, it's weird to see them do that, because in Minneapolis or Minnesota in general, people don't really date. They hang out. Like, if I ever ask my friends if they're like dating, they're like, they say no. Mm-hmm. And like, if they, you know, if they're going on a date, they'll be like, oh yeah, I'm hanging out with this guy, or like, I'm hanging out with this girl later. Because I think in Minneapolis and or Minnesota, people kind of date within their friend groups. And so I have a friend who just moved here from Wisconsin, and she was really frustrated for like months about the fact that she, like, no one would ever come up to her, or if she tried to talk to somebody, it would always be like a very nice conversation, but very, very short.
Sure.
Because there's no, you don't branch out from the group of friends that you have already. Like, you kind of, like, this, there's this attitude here that is like, you have this group of friends and they're nice, so like, why would you go outside of that for anything? And so I don't know, you know, if I'm wrong in that, like, if it's just my group of friends that is like that or not, or like, if maybe that's why things like Tinder or like online dating are very popular, because every time that my friend is going on a hangout session with somebody that's not in our group of friends, it's through online dating. And
sure.
I don't know when that also became a lot more acceptable thing, because when I was like a freshman in college, which was only like 4 years ago, that was not really a thing. Like, people didn't really say, oh yeah, I'm on OkCupid, or oh yeah, I do this online thing.
It was, you know, it felt like an older thing at the
time.
It was,
or
like thing, eHarmony or Match.com or
right,
something, like, for,
yeah,
you know, 30-somethings.
For like the old people that couldn't find love on their own.
Which,
like, which, but like, that's, you know, like 4 years ago, that was kind of
fair.
A common thought. And now it's totally not. Like, if you're not on Tinder and you're single, why aren't you on Tinder?
I think that definitely the stigma has diminished. Not entirely, but in a lot of ways, it has. And I think partially it's our exposure to it. So it's not as much of a thing anymore. But also, the qualities of Tinder allow it to be used as a much younger, almost, game. Like, people say they're playing Tinder. Like, when you open up the app, it says, want to play Tinder? Or, like, keep playing Tinder.
Keep playing,
like, they call it playing, and it is playing. It's a game.
Yeah.
And the qualities of Tinder allow it to be really passive, which I think is really good for our generation and probably Minnesotans in general. It kind of seems like it's right up all of our alleys.
Yeah, you know.
Speaking on behalf of all single people in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Yeah, you know.
I mean, I don't really understand it at all. So I.
Can I do explain it to you?
Yeah.
Okay. So
I've seen it. I understand that a photo will pop up.
Yes. Yeah, so for those who.
Yay or nay this person.
Don't know what Tinder is, and Shelby.
thanks.
Old maid Shelby.
Wow.
Old maid Shelby.
Guys, I was.
She's in a relationship. She has someone who loves her, so she doesn't know what it's like.
Fine, whatever. We get it.
So it's an app that you download on the internet, and you fill out a little profile. For me, it just imported a lot of my settings from
Facebook.
It's all
your Facebook stuff.
Yeah, and so it's interests and friends, like shared friends.
Wait, do both of you guys have Tinder?
Uh-huh.
Have we been matched on Tinder? I haven't been matched with you on Tinder.
No.
Huh.
Yeah.
Did you say no to me?
Yeah, I said no.
Wait, did you see me?
No,
and
I haven't.
And you said no?
No. God, no. I haven't seen you. No. No.
I don't know. I feel weird.
Let's
now.
See how long we can play this game.
Okay. Anyway, that's another interesting part about Tinder, is seeing people you
know
and how you go about it.
My roommate said that you always say no to that because you don't want to deal with the awkwardness of it later.
But see, I think not dealing with it at the time is more awkward. Like, I'll say yes to friends and they say yes, and then it's like, haha, funny, we're both single, what's up, see you later, and
it,
then you move
it
on.
It really does collapse all of the, like, weird, you know, it helps to collapse some of the distances between, like, casual friends, you know, like, you'll see someone who you've known and you're like, oh, ha ha ha, that's a joke, and then if you accidentally match up, mm-hmm. accidentally, quote unquote, mm-hmm. it's like, oh, this is funny. Why didn't this happen earlier? Yeah. Dang it.
Okay, so Tinder, it imports your settings, and then so you have a few pictures, and you can't really put that many characters into your profile. They're all pretty short. I'm not mm-hmm. sure what the limit is, but it's short.
Yeah.
And then you pick your radius of where you want, how far you want people to be away from you. So it's always tracking where you are,
oh.
which is its own thing. And then also your age range and then what you're looking for. So men and women is also an option. Mm-hmm. And then you start playing. And pictures pop up.
Playing! Oh, man,
and
like a game.
If you like what you see in their few pictures and limited word profile, then you swipe to the right. Mm-hmm. And if you don't like it, then you swipe to the left.
And it'll also say if you have mutual friends or shared interests.
Yeah.
So if you both like the same thing, it'll be like you share four interests.
From Facebook.
Yeah,
from
Facebook.
And so if you both end up swiping right, so you don't know if any of these people have said yes to you, but they're
sure.
all possible candidates. And so if you both end up saying yes, swiping right, then you get matched and then you can message each other.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it is the most true to form way of like flirting. Like you see someone at a bar, you think they're cute. You know, that's the equivalent of swiping through three pictures on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the connection versus huge, long OkCupid profiles where someone mm-hmm. is, you know, formulating
right.
how they want to come off, formulating
sure.
what
but
they want to talk
away,
about.
But it takes away the, like, confidence that it takes to, like, go up to somebody at a bar and be like, hey.
But that's the perfect reason
cute?
Why it's Minnesotan.
That's
like, that's
true.
It makes
right,
so much
right,
sense.
Right. But, like,
and you can reject someone without,
being,
you can totally anonymously
without
reject
being
someone,
like, nah.
which is, like, probably 95% of Minnesotan anxiety about dating is like,
it's so true.
Yeah, what will this person think if I say no or if I am said no to? It's like you just don't know. It's great.
Kind of, it's really honest, but not in a hurtful way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's a wonderful tool.
Super passive aggressive, and it works for Minnesotans.
And also, like if you're both matched and you start chatting with someone and then you realize that you don't want to chat with them anymore because they're weird or whatever, then you can unmatch them and they can never find you again because you've already been matched, so they can't find mm-hmm. you again, and it's only your first name, so they cannot find you.
Mm-hmm.
It's the best thing ever. I'm sorry. It's like it's totally brilliant.
So you've been on quite a few dates.
I mean,
sorry, that sounded really judgmental.
It sounded very rude and judgmental.
No, I'm sorry.
I'm just joking.
You have been on a few.
I have been on a few Tinder dates.
Were dates. They weren't hangouts. Like, you would say, like, oh, I'm going on a date with this person.
I would. And I think, yeah, it's the mentality kind of going into it. Like, I don't know this person, so it is a blind date.
Before mm-hmm. you talk about them, if you didn't have Tinder, do you think you would be going on dates, or do you think you would be like hanging out with your friends who like you think are kind of cute, like your guy friends who you already know who are like in your friend circle?
Yeah, see, I've already done that with all of my guy friends in my friend circle, which is why I'm now moving on to Tinder.
Sure, that's fair.
Would you move on if you didn't have Tinder?
I don't think so, and I think that's kind of the beauty of it is that I've lived in Minneapolis my whole life, and I've been dating in Minneapolis for a while, and I, in my mind, felt like I knew everyone. I mean, not, you know, and like, I did. I was, okay, I've seen mm-hmm. a lot of people. I go to a lot of shows. Like, I kind of felt like I knew what was out there, and I have met a lot of people that I have never seen before. I have no idea what they do. I've never heard of the places mm-hmm. they work at. Like, I'm completely exposed to a new group of people that I didn't know before, and it's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's great. Nothing has stuck so far, and I also
sure.
feel like that's a bit of the mentality with Tinder is that it's very casual,
mm-hmm.
and it's okay to go on one date with someone and never hear from them again or be like, yeah, I'm not into it, cool, see you around. You know, it's very casual, and I think that's a pro for younger people.
Yeah, I feel like that's a thing that our generation is maybe not made aware of as an option
mm-hmm.
when you're young.
Totally.
Like, so much of the like, mass media we grew up on would be like romantic comedies, like they met each other for life, like, you know, it's just a very, I feel like the cultural moment we grew up in was very much like, oh, you know, haha, there's some zany like meet cute story for you out there. And when it doesn't work out, especially in a place where nobody wants to like be forward with each other, it can be very like, oh, nothing going on, blah, 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 blah.
There's also this thing that's like, if you go on two or three dates with someone, then all of a sudden you are dating each other, as in you are boyfriend and girlfriend.
Right.
And I think that is a huge fault of our generation. Like, I want to be able to date five people because I feel like it and I want to try new restaurants. Like, I don't want to have to commit to someone. And I think Tinder allows people to do that.
Well, when you mention new restaurants.
Yeah.
I'm just always stoked for new restaurants.
So now we'll be matched on Tinder is what you're saying.
Maybe.
There's a chance. I'm totally.
I could understand how it would be mystifying from the perspective of someone who's in like a longer term relationship, though.
Yeah.
I have friends who will play my Tinder for me who are in relationships.
Oh.
Oh, man.
That's a level of trust. But also, but also, like you said, it's pretty, you know, it's like super low impact and fairly anonymous.
And I only have like two friends, so I know them pretty well.
There you go.
I have more friends than you because I had eight. You guys both judged me when I was like, I only have
really
eight friends.
Bragging about your social and romantic situation this episode, Shelby. I don't know how I feel about that.
Let's get it. I wish a brother could have found my face in the parking lot. But I that astronomical, how you comical. Talking about you know him, where you found him from. In the drive through, got him a number six, and you brought him in and gave him your fish dick.
He was so earlier this summer, I was at Bastille Day, and the announcer, you know, was like, hey, like, next up is Girl Party, and it's really exciting because this might be the first and the last time that Lizzo will ever be on this stage for this thing. And it was just, I don't know, it was really fun. And I personally, like, am in love with Lizzo, and I'm in love with Girl Party, and I think they're super cool. It just turned out to be, like, a really fun show. Now who's in charge of you? A dude in a coupe acting new for the crew. You whore. Got a moose, but I do the fandango. Nigga, I'll be Django, shooting you from every angle. Hurt your feelings and your paycheck. Got a feeling you won't make it. Bye. Oops, I didn't know you were the regular. I'm really kind of interested in her story and kind of like, you know, the Chalice, Girl Party, all of those different projects, because it's always these like really strong women who get up on the stage and are like, I'm a woman and I'm going to own this stage and I'm going to be sexy and badass, like all together, and do this skill that I'm really good at and own it.
And be like completely outside of the box energy-wise for what the Twin Cities has come to expect, because, like, there are some, like, more out there. I mean, there are a lot of really out there bands in the city, but as far as, like, what is popular, the, like, excitement level, shall we say, of the music is very, like, oh, my God, just put me to sleep right now. Right. Because, like, you know, there's so much, like, dude rock and roll and like dude folk and dude sort of alt country.
Yeah.
And there are some female artists, but like the level of excitement and engagement, it seems like, is so quiet in Minnesotan. And Lizzo, because she's from out of town, is just
she's from Texas?
She's from Houston.
Houston, yeah.
And her whole sub scene of like loud, energetic, bold female hip hop, I think, is doing a lot of good. Look like a girl, act like a lady, think like a man, but work like a boss. Work like a boss, work, work like a boss, work like a boss, work, work like a boss. Look like a girl, act like a lady. She's been picked up by all of the gatekeepers of, you know, culture in the city, and yet retains this like sort of dangerous, like, youth culture vibe that doesn't normally get much traction in the cities. It's always just kind of like, this dude has been in a band for 20 years and like, oh, you'll love his new record. And it's like, no, we won't, you know?
Yeah, I think I've been watching her perform for a while, and
what was the dramatic pause about there?
Because didn't you perform with her?
I did for a period of time. Yeah. I backup sang for Lizzo with her project pre The Chalice.
Nice.
A year and a half, actually. Yeah. It was really fun.
Yeah.
And she's great. And even since then, I mean, that was almost started like 3 years ago. And she was always unforgivingly herself performing.
Sure.
The energy's amazing.
Was that when she moved? Because when did she come to Minneapolis?
You know, I'm not sure like exact dates, but I started singing with her 6 months after she moved here. Like, it wasn't that long afterwards. And that was, I think, fall 2011. Maybe.
Sure. How did you meet her?
How can I say this in a appropriate way? No, okay. My my roommate at the time was hanging out with a boy, a man who she was working on, Lizzo was working on music with. And we all kind of hung out together. It was a short-lived romance for them. But we were all at my apartment and Lizzo was over and her bandmate at the time and my roommate. And it was like maybe 4 or 5 in the morning. We were hanging out and Lauryn Hill was on. And I was kind of like singing along to it. And then like someone stopped the song or started to change a song. And Lizzo was like, hey, you can kind of sing. I need a backup singer. Do you want to like do this? And at the time I was working for Radio K, but I hadn't really done anything musical on my own or pursued music in any way, and I was like, yeah, sure, that sounds cool, don't really know what that's about, and kind of thought it would just blow over, and then it didn't blow over. And I started practicing with them and we played at a lot of really small venues for a long time
in Minneapolis.
It was like we played a lot at the Nomad, which was great, Honey, Kitty Cat Club a lot, 7th Street Entry. It was great. It was so much fun. I learned so much about music and about, like, what it takes to do that. Like, I would get really tired after, and I wasn't even performing. Like, she was performing. Like, I was not performing. I was in the background. I was doing doo-wops and little side sways, and it was super fun, but I would get so tired after that, and she would have energy for days. It was amazing. Yeah. It was great. So that was my little claim to fame. And it's funny now, because she's arguably quite famous, and I think like this will be my claim to fame. Like this is it. Like this, this is how good it's going to get for me in my life. Is that I used to backup sing when I was in college for Lizzo. That's it.
That's pretty awesome, though.
Is it? But,
yeah, I mean, like, you know,
I think so.
That's a pretty incredible experience.
I really like Lizzo, so like, of course, I'm gonna think so. But I think all of Minneapolis would too. I mean, I think the entire city is pretty proud of the fact that we have.
We have her now.
Yeah, she's a woman hip-hop artist who's, like, a big deal. You know, because that's, I mean, the people who come out of this area are like Bob Dylan, which is not to say I don't love Bob Dylan, because I do. And I'm super proud of the fact that he came out of the Minnesota area.
Sure.
But, like, that's what people think of when they think of Minnesota or Minneapolis.
Well, what's cool is that she's taken on Minneapolis as her home. She's really quintessential to the Minneapolis music scene now, but she isn't from here. Yeah. But she's really taken it on as her home and embraced it. And
even though arguably she's, and I said this earlier and I'll say it again, she's a terrible Minnesotan.
Yeah.
Because of what you were saying of like she will talk about herself and she's good at being like, no, I think I'm good because I am.
Yeah.
And she's proud of it.
Right. And that's, you know, that hurts Minnesotans' souls to even think about having to do that, you know. And she is really talented. And I think for a young person who is doing something slightly different in a new place, to be able to recognize their talent and speak proudly of it and try to get involved and do so successfully, I mean, that's an amazing thing. Oh, man, takes balls. I just can't even.
And it's pretty great that she, like, her success on like a national and international level is starting to build, you know, being on, you know, various MTV things. Like, she was in a Vice video a couple weeks ago about, like, it was this Twin Cities music history video. It's just like a little nine minute thing that Vice did. It came to the Twin Cities, and so they interview Tommy Stinson about the Replacements, and then they interview Bob Mould about Husker Du, and then they interview Craig Finn about the Hold Steady, and you know, it's like, who has not seen this 1,000 times before?
Right.
And then Lizzo comes in, and you can tell she was, unfortunately, totally like shoehorned into this video by the powers that be, even though she, you know, her input and her voice and her story was so much more immediately relevant and forward-looking than just like, yep, the Hold Steady practiced here for, you know, 20 years ago, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
So, you know, her input and her story were just so necessary, you know? Like, the fact that she's achieving this level of success, to say nothing of what's going on in Minneapolis, but just to get onto a national stage with this alternative viewpoint that's so much more relevant to now and, like, our age group.
And what the scene is now, you know? And I feel like people, although, yes, we're Minnesotan, we identify with, you know, Bob Dylan and Prince, and those things are great, and I'm so happy that I come from a place where
I'm really proud of that. Like, I love those artists too, but it's cool to have a collection of artists in, like, a bunch of different genres.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's restructuring the identity of what Minneapolis music is. Yeah. And I think that the reason why we're talking about this is because we're all really proud to have this happening.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. One of the things you feel like at a certain age, I mean, we all worked at Radio K, so there was a certain amount of, like, oh, like, we're discovering all these cool new artists and, like, we're kind of the underdogs, but you still do eventually absorb this mentality that, like, the Replacements were kind of the end, or, like, the Hold Steady or Lifter Puller were, like, the end of our cultural exports, you know? And after that, it's just kind of like, oh, you know, one band went on tour for a year, and then that was kind of it for Minneapolis.
And
but
we
we're,
have, like, great local music, but it's...
Yeah, and
it's local
but
music,
we have no crossovers, or no one outgrows the scene, that kind of thing. But we're at a point now where, like, there are, you know, a solid 5 or 6 bands that are consistently nationally touring, and admittedly, a lot of them still fall into the same buckets of, like, rock and roll, you know, type things. But the fact that Lizzo is on the rise is such a reassurance. When you're considering that, like, I feel like the hip-hop exports of Minneapolis have dried up a little bit in the last 5 or 6 years. Like, POS gained traction, and then kind of, you know, it was quiet for a little while. So I'm glad we're in this phase where what's going on in, like, really small clubs in Minneapolis has an opportunity to earn the hard-won local audience, but also, like, resonate with people
nationally
around the world,
and,
you know?
internationally.
I think it also speaks to, like, Lizzo's, and you talked about this too, like, Lizzo's incredible on stage performance. Mm-hmm.
And her willingness to cross over into multiple home audiences is really important too. You see bands who, like, eventually will just start only playing, like, the entry, you know, just staying within one kind of, like, track for a really long time. But she's willing to do, like, you know, house parties, small rooms, you know, local festivals, you know, some...
The main room.
Yeah, the main room. Like, she's willing to, and she's definitely put in the work to deserve all of these different stages. And it's like, you know, you see some local bands who are like, oh, we won't play, you know, 50-person shows anymore. We just won't do it, you know. But there are the people who are willing to show their appreciation and, you know, develop their talent and, you know, just enjoy doing it. And I think that's the thing that's most refreshing about her, is how clearly she enjoys what she does, you know?
She's an extremely talented musician. I mean, besides being, you know, a rap goddess, if you will, she also plays the flute, like, extremely proficiently.
Nice.
And
I didn't know that.
It's insane. Like, she's super talented on the flute. And the music that I used to sing with her, like, it wasn't... There were sometimes, like, rap breakdowns in the songs, but it was pop music. And so she was singing most of the time. And she would, like, get down on the ground, like, during these pop ballads almost. You know, like, she has it in her. And it wants to come out.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, we all love her. I think that's been established.
She's got it going on, man.
The future. Remember that gooey gooey you took and said ooey ooey. I need you with two-wee, at least for my baby booey ooey. Floating like boobies, now you got a nice pair like some boobies. And you high up that doobie doobie with your mystery machine. Well, in Tinder parlance, good hang, guys.
This was a nice hang.
Maybe we'll do it again.
Hang out sesh.
Oh, maybe. we'll pop till we drop next time. I got my batches and cookies. 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 I got my batches and cookies.